writer, and I think it's good for me once a year at least to talk to him on the phone, because I can be having a down day and I'll be laughing my head off by the time I get off the phone with him. And I love that about him as well. I understand there is a seriousness to him, but praise God, every now and then we ought to be able to laugh about something. There'll be plenty you can cry about in this life. And so every chance you get to laugh, you ought to a little bit. Amen. I appreciate all these men of God that are here tonight. And Brother Mike Sue, dear friend of ours, he booked me to come and preach a three-day meeting for him. And we got one night in, and then Armageddon hit Atlanta. That was back in the ice storm, snowstorm, whatever you want to call it. I was up there in the hotel room, and I went out to the convenience store, and everybody, that's all they were talking about. What about this weather? What about this weather? I said, I'm from the mountains. They said, oh. I mean, it snows all the time where I'm from. Right? We left snow, as a matter of fact, on the ground today. But anyway, we appreciate the opportunity to be here and thankful for each one of you. Good to see Brother T.D., one of my heroes of the faith. And I don't say that lightly. I'm careful about who I put that title on, but he's worthy of that. And he is a soldier of the cross that God has used mightily. And he's used him mightily in my life. And Brother Cape, it's good to meet you. I've never met you in person, but I appreciate what God has done in your life and the Floyd Road Baptist Church. I've seen videos of your old daddy singing. I guess that's your mama singing with him. And boy, I tell you what, son, I about had a spell one day. I was on the computer on YouTube, and I got a hold of a video of them singing, I Love the Old Bible. And son, we got to having church right there, just me and God and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I appreciate a heritage like that. I am from the mountains. And we act a little weird in the mountains sometimes. And I don't make apologies for that. Praise the Lord, I'm just warning you beforehand. Amen. I appreciate my son-in-law, Brother Cameron, my assistant at the church. He's drove me down here, and I am prayed up in this traffic, and I mean, he's barreling through there, and I'm sitting there, oh, Lord, would you please help us? When you come from where I'm from, the farther you get closer to where we're at, you don't hardly see any cars. And you come down here, and it's something else. We're not used to it, praise the Lord. But anyway, I'm glad that he got us here safely. Now, whether we'll get back out or not, I don't know. But anyway, I appreciate the Lord and appreciate his goodness. It's an honor to be here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. While you're turning there, let me say this. If you ever get a chance to come to the mountains of Northeast Tennessee, we do have a jubilee ourselves. This will be our 21st year at the Dyson Grove Baptist Church, and our 21st year of our annual jubilee. We go all week long, morning and night. Have morning services every day. We serve meals each day. And Brother Mike, matter of fact, Brother Mike Soup preached last year in one of the morning services for us. And we have a great, always get good men in to preach, good singing all week long. And if you enjoy the mountains, you'd love coming where we're at. We're out there, out in the country just a little bit, down next to the creek. And folks enjoy it. And I tell you, it's a blessing, so we'd invite you. I got to get Brother Snyder up there. I really do. Our folks would love it. They love a preacher that's got a sense of humor. They do. And but anyway, they'd love him just because I love him. And I appreciate that. Brother T.D.'s been there. He's preached for us. And I tell you, our folks love him. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to start reading in verse number 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. The Bible says this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I pray, God, that you'd enable me now, Lord, and give me liberty in the service that I might bring the message, God, you've impressed upon my heart tonight. Lord, we thank you for the great singing that we've heard tonight. Lord, how our heart's been stirred by the good music and the good songs. And Lord, we thank you for each one that's already been a part of this service. But now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that we'd have receptive hearts unto your word. And Father, I pray may it find a lodging place. Lord, may you speak to every individual Christian in this place. And Lord, if there's one here that's not saved tonight, would you speak to them as well? And draw them, Lord, as this young lady testified here today. God, draw them to this place of salvation. And Father, I beg you tonight, now just do a work in every heart and every child of God's life. And Father, we'll give you praise and honor and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it tonight. Amen and amen. Here in the Word of God, in the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, and he comes down, and he, of course, in verse number 19, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are His." And where I really want to get to, he comes down in verse number 20, and he begins to talk about, he says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." And then the next verse, he then gives a clarification on what an individual can do in order to be a vessel of honor. He says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I believe every child of God here tonight should desire to be a vessel of honor unto God. I believe that ought to be the desire of everyone that claims the name of Christ tonight. But I also understand tonight that we all have the potential to be a vessel of dishonor. I don't even like to think about the thought of that, but the fact of the matter is, the Bible said, in a great house, in God's house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, there are some that are valuable and some whose maybe their testimony is one of dishonor unto the Lord. I don't want to even think about that. And I just say, "Preacher, what would be a vessel of honor unto God?" Well, first of all, he clarifies it. He said it's a vessel that has been purged of some things. Now, that word purge is really not a nice word. It means something has been expelled. Something has had to go. I remember when I got saved, I didn't know all about being saved or being a Christian, but after I got saved and I began to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden there were some things in my life that God showed me that I knew that if I was going to be a vessel of honor, they had to be purged and they had to go out of my life. There's a lot of church folk today need to have a purging in their life, and they could be a vessel that would bring honor and glory unto God. Not only is it a purged vessel, it's a prepared vessel. God will never send you to do a work unless He prepares you to do it. Hallelujah. That's why young preachers need to understand there is a preparation time when God has a work for you to do. He's got to get you ready for it. And not only is it a purged vessel and a prepared vessel, but it is a producing vessel. There will be, it said, prepared unto every good work. When you become a vessel of honor, you will be a vessel that will produce good fruit. I begin to think about the importance of a vessel. And it's critical tonight to think about the importance of a vessel. I grew up in the mountains of East Tennessee. My daddy owned a little farm there. And on the farm, I was the only boy in my family. I had three sisters. And growing up there, he had that little farm. He worked a day job, but he worked that little farm at night. And on the farm, when you're the only boy in the family, you get all the dirty jobs on the farm. We had cows and chickens and horses and raised hogs as well. And when it came time to slop the hogs, that was my job on the farm. Now, I tell you, that's not an enviable job. Matter of fact, anybody here ever slopped hogs? Praise God. There's a pretty, well, this is my crowd then, praise the Lord. Bunch of hog sloppers in here, amen. But anyway, when it came time to slop those hogs, we had an old slop bucket that we had. My mama, she'd get table scraps, put it in it. She'd put some corn, maybe some chop, put some water in there, stir it up real good. And man, them old hogs, they would just be standing up on their hind legs waiting to get that slop when it got in there. But you know, that old bucket was never really clean. It didn't really look very good. Matter of fact, it's kind of nasty looking. But you see, hogs don't care. All they're interested in is slop. Can you imagine this summer you're out mowing your yard and it's hot down here in Georgia and man, you're just dying for a drink of water and you're thinking, man, I do need to stop and get a drink. All of a sudden your neighbor's coming, he's got some ice water and he's bringing you some ice water to drink. You're thinking, man, that's a good neighbor that would do something like that for me. And the closer he gets, you look and see that he's got it in a slop bucket. Your desire for a drink is going to diminish greatly. Not because you're not thirsty. Not because you don't know, you know you need a drink, but the fact is you're not too keen about drinking out of the vessel that's presenting it. Can I say to you, is it any wonder why when we try to reach the lost world for Jesus and we try to tell them they need the Lord and we try to tell them they need something, they know they need Jesus. They know they need something in their life, but they're just not too keen about the vessel sometimes that's presenting it. Amen. I was at the house one day. I was praying. I'd been studying this scripture. I said, God, there has to be an illustration that I can use to convey this thought of the importance of a vessel. I went into the kitchen. My wife had some stuff there, and I got me something to drink, and I'm standing there, and I looked at it, and it dawned on me. And I said, now, some of y'all are going to think I'm crazy. I don't really care. I'm going back to Tennessee in the morning. I may never see you again until we get to heaven. You can take it up with me then. But anyway, I saw something that was a perfect illustration of the importance of a vessel. I brought some vessels with me tonight and I wanted to show them to you tonight. Brother Cameron got them over here and I wanted to show you something tonight. Has anybody ever seen one of these right here? Why, sure you have. I think maybe this company is located down in these parts, if I'm not mistaken. Big, kind of big down here. That is a Coca-Cola 2-liter. Man, you talk about chilling that thing on a hot day. That'll hit the spot. Matter of fact, the slogan of this company, what is it? It's the real thing. Hallelujah. I got another vessel. I wanted to bring it and show it to you. I got one right here. Had anybody ever seen one of these right here? I sure you have. That's Coca-Cola in a 20-ounce bottle on a hot day, Brother T.D. I mean, you crack that thing open, and man, it will hit the spot. I got another vessel over here. I want to show you something about vessels. And anybody ever seen one of these right here? I sure you have. That's a Coca-Cola in the 12-ounce can. If you got the right amount of change on you and you put it in a machine, it will hit the spot when you're thirsty. I got another vessel over here, though, I wanted to show you. Has anybody, some of y'all getting ahead of me. Has anybody ever seen one of these right here? Y'all getting ahead of me. I don't like it when they get ahead of me in the message, amen. I mean, here is the little glass bottle, the little 8-ounce Coca-Cola. Man, I'm talking about on a hot day, if you chill that thing real good, you talk about, son, you'll think the Holy Ghost is on it, amen. I'm talking about it's good. I got to thinking about the importance of a vessel. Do you realize that this company, that this little bottle is the symbol of that company? Matter of fact, that's the image they want to portray. Matter of fact, they put a picture of this bottle on this can. They sure did. When you're drinking this, they want you to think about this. Everybody here tonight, if I gave you the option, and I told you, I said, you can have any one of those, it's cold, if you're thirsty, you can have any one of those to drink tonight. Every one of them's the same product in it. Every one of them the same thing in the vessel. But everybody here, most everybody here, if you've got good sense, is going to tell me, I'll tell you what's one I want. I want that little glass bottle because there's just something special about it. I mean, it's just something. You know what makes it special? It's the vessel that's holding it. I like to think about this as being the old-time Christian. Hallelujah. Them old saints of God that have... I'm talking about the real thing. I'm not talking about something fabricated, something that you have to push and promote, but I'm talking about the real deal. I'm talking about Holy Ghost, steel power of God, old-time saints of God. Hallelujah. I thought about that. I want to show you this company is honest, and I'm going to prove it to you. I got another vessel over here. Has anybody ever seen one of these? That's a Diet Coke. They didn't put a picture of that bottle on this can, because even they know that ain't the real thing. I mean, they're honest, man. I give them that. Praise the Lord. I got to thinking about these vessels. I mean, every one of them got the same product except for that there Diet Coke. I don't know what that is. But anyway, every one of them got the same product. But there's one that stands out among these, and it's because of the vessel that it's in. I got to thinking about what kind of vessel, Brother T.D., that God is looking for in a child of God. I began to think about this. First of all, I believe He's looking for a pure, clean vessel. Let me tell you something right now. Have you ever done this? I remember one time getting a drink out of a machine. I went to open that thing up and looked, and it was all dirty on top of it. And, you know, you've had that happen before. Maybe something caused it to get dirty. You don't drink out of it until you clean it up. I wonder how many times does people have to wade through unpleasant things in our lives just to get to Jesus in our lives. I wonder sometimes, but let me tell you something. I thought about the process that all of these had to go through in order to get feel like they are. But there's only one up here that had to go through a process that the rest probably didn't have to go through. Have you ever been around where they're blowing glass? Have you ever seen where they're blowing glass? The heat is so intense that no impurities or imperfections are going to come through that fire. I'll tell you one thing right now. I thank for God for that old generation. They've been through the fire. They've been through the flood. And most of all, they've been through the blood. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. If there's something this world needs to see, it's somebody that's the real thing, that's living a life that's pure and clean in this modern day. We've lost that in most of our Baptist churches. I tell you, it's time again we start living different than the sinners and start living different than the world. I tell you, we ought to have a purity to our life. Hallelujah to His name, that we can walk with Him. Hallelujah. Oh, He's looking for a vessel that's pure and clean. He's looking for a vessel that's solid and steadfast. I looked at all these vessels that remind me of church folk. This reminds me of Baptist church folk. It's not too solid. It's flexible. Easily manipulated. Hallelujah. I got to looking at this one right here. I got some church folk like this. Don't take much to bend them all out of shape. I mean, I'm talking about solid and steadfast vessel. I remember one day when back years ago before I was ever a pastor, I worked in the supermarket business. And I went on break one day and I went back and I set my drink down on the table, my snack. I went into the restroom to wash my hands. I had some of my buddies I worked with was in there in the break room sitting around there. And little did I know, while I was gone, you know what they did. You guys always pulling practical jokes. And I set my drink down there, go to a restroom to wash my hands. And while I'm gone, one of them picks it up just like this right here, shakes it up real good, and sets it right back down. Here I come. I'm unsuspecting. I don't know a thing. Man, they're sitting there all just sniggering under the breath. And I'm just opening up my snack for lunch or whatever I was eating that day. And all of a sudden, I just grabbed that thing and went, psh. I'm talking about hit blue all over. I'm wet all over. And I mean, I'm by surprise. I said, boy, there's a lot of church folk just like that. On Sunday morning, preachers say, how you doing today? It's good to see you. I'll tell you how I'm doing. I'll tell you what they did to me this week. I'll tell you, preacher, if you don't do something about this, I'll tell you one thing right now. I'm going to have to find me another church. And the preacher standing there just all over him thinking, man, I didn't know somebody'd been shaking on him this week. I'll tell you one thing right now, but let me tell you something right now. When I look at this vessel right here, I see one that's solid and steadfast. Ain't no bend in this fella. Matter of fact, he's like old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they said, we're going to play the music now, and when we do, you bow down. They said, we ain't going to bend, we ain't going to bow, and we ain't going to burn. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Praise God for some old-fashioned saints of God that will take a stand on the Word of God in a modern age. Amen. Oh, yeah, solid and steadfast. I had a preacher tell me one time, he heard me preach this message. He was from a rough part of North Carolina. He said, preacher, I'll tell you which one I want with me if I'm in a fight, too. He said, when you get in a scrap with the devil, you don't want that fly-by-night crowd with you, but you get some of that crowd that stood through the fire, that stood through all the trials. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, for some old-fashioned, steadfast saints of God. Amen. He's looking for a vessel that's pure and clean. He's looking for a vessel that's solid and steadfast. He's looking for a vessel that magnifies the Savior. When I look at these products today, I look at this one, I see some of the product. I see some packaging. I see some writing. Same thing with this one here. When I look at this one, I don't see any of the product. I see the packaging. There's a lot of church folk like that. They can tell you when they got baptized. They can tell you all kinds of religious things. But when you look real hard, you can't see Jesus nowhere in their life. Amen. But this is what I like about this fellow right here. When you look at him, you know what you see? The product. You don't see packaging. You don't see a lot of that. He don't have to self-promote. Hallelujah. He doesn't have to put nothing on there and say, look at me, I'm good. Oh, no, praise God. You know he's good, because you see what's on the inside of him. Amen. I thank God for it all. I'm talking about being the real thing, them old-fashioned saints of God. John said it like this. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. I'll tell you one thing right now. When we get enough of Jesus showing on us, hallelujah, he'll be lifted up, praise his holy name, and he'll be magnified, praise God. I've learned a long time ago, you lift him up and business will pick up. We're living in a day of self-promotion. We're living in a day, even in churches, we fall into that trap. We feel like we've got to compete with everybody else. In order to do that, we've got to promote this and promote that. I'll tell you what, if we'll get to lifting up Jesus, everything will work out just fine at the house of God. Hallelujah to His name. I thought about He's looking for a vessel that magnifies Him. He's looking for a vessel that's pure and clean. He's looking for a vessel that's solid and steadfast. And He's looking for a vessel that's worth something to His church, to his community, and to his home. Growing up in the mountains of northeast Tennessee, I grew up in a little holler up there on a dirt road. A little place called Little Dry Run Road. We was right across the hill from Big Dry Run Road. You grow up with an inferiority complex when you grow up on a Little Dry Run Road. You can't figure out why they're big and you're little. We just never had figured that out. But on that little old dirt road, at the end of the holler, down from our house about 2 miles, came out and it ran into another road, came out down at Midway Baptist Church, the church I was saved in. And there was a house right next to it, an old brother by the name of Danny Morley had an old country store there. And us kids, you know, we didn't have a lot of way of making money and stuff like that, but buddy, in the summertime when we was out from school, we'd ride our bicycles all the way down that dirt road, down that little holler. We'd go down there, old brother Danny Morley's. We knew he had some soda pop down there. We knew he had some kind of good things like candy bars and stuff like that. Man, we was excited about getting down there. And sometimes in order to get a little money back in them days, it was back before all the tree huggers came along and before Al Gore convinced us that we were destroying the planet. You know, back in those days, nobody had air conditioning in a car, so everybody rode their windows down. And back in them days, they'd get a bottle of pop, be drinking it, going up the road, and when they got done, they'd just toss it out the window in the ditch line. And, you know, the reason we'd go down through, we'd pick them bottles up, because, you see, those bottles were what was known as redeemable. Hallelujah. And you might not have no money in your pocket, but you could take them bottles there, put them up on the counter, and they're as good as cash money. You know why? Because it's worth something. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Anybody ever picked that? Anybody ever took bottles? Everywhere I go, a bunch of hog swappers and bottle swappers. Amen. I'm telling you one thing right now. That is my crowd. Amen. I'm telling you one thing. I thought about that. But you know what? I thought about this one. If you took this one back after you emptied it out, set it up on the counter, said, I'd like to cash this in, they'd look at you like you're crazy. You know why? Because it's a throwaway. I believe Paul said it like this. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Paul wasn't talking about losing his salvation, but he's saying this. He said, you know what? I preach to others, but if I'm not careful, if I don't guard my testimony, if I don't guard what God's given me, he said it'd be no value to anybody. It'll be no value to the church. It'll be no value to anybody else. I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of vessel that's worth something to my community. I want to be worth something to my church. When I have to miss a service, I don't want them to say, boy, I tell you what, I don't know why he's not here today, but I want them to say, you know what, we sure didn't miss him today. I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of vessel that's worth something, Brother T.D. Talking about the real thing now. Talking about he's looking for a vessel that's solid and steadfast. A vessel that's pure and clean. A vessel that magnifies the Savior. A vessel that's worth something. I'll tell you what he's looking for. He's looking for a vessel that preserves the freshness. Have you ever done this? Have you ever picked up one of these and you poured a glass full, and when you put it to your lips, immediately you recognized it was flat. Flat as a Baptist on Sunday morning at about 11:30. The fizz is done and gone. See, that's what's wrong with most Baptist folk. They done lost the fizz a long time ago. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The night you got saved, man, I'm telling you one thing right now, you bawled like a baby. You went home and, man, you squalled. You come back to church and you wanted to testify and, man, you was excited. And after a while, a few years down the road, now you don't even get excited when nobody else goes to squalling. You just sit there. You know what the problem is? You done went flat and you've done lost the fizz. But thank God for some old saints of God that still got the bubbles of joy in their soul. Hallelujah. I like to get around them every now and then. Praise God. When some of them old saints get happy and it's genuine. It's the real deal. Hallelujah. I was looking at that video, your old daddy is singing that song, and your mama got the shout, and I said, praise God, thank God they got the fears. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, praise God, I'm glad that I serve a God. Put the joy back in you. I'm glad he'll give you something that'll bubble over on the inside, and it'll come on the outside and bless somebody else. Amen. I've had some old saints of God up there in the church that I've pastored down through the years, some of them in heaven now. Used to have an old gentleman, he's in heaven now, Brother Melvin Brown. He's a crippled old fella, older man, and I love him. I say that respectfully, Brother Melvin, one of the greatest saints of God and one of my dearest friends. He was sitting on the back row back there. But man, I tell you what, you mentioned Jesus a couple of times and he'd pick up with Brother Melvin. I mean, he didn't have a lot of education. Matter of fact, probably didn't even finish school. Worked hard all his life. But buddy, he knew the Holy Ghost when it come around. I'll never forget, Brother Melvin had been sick and they'd put him in the hospital. And he was having some heart problems. We was getting ready to have a meeting at the church. I went down to the hospital, Johnson City Medical Center, and I went to see him. I said, Brother Melvin, how you doing? He said, well, I'm a doing fair, preacher. They're running tests on my heart. They don't know what's going on. He was probably close to 80 then. And he looked at me and he said, preacher, you pray that I can get out of the hospital so I can be at the meeting. It was only 2 days later. I said, Brother Melvin, don't you worry about getting out of the hospital. I said, I want you to be okay. I want you to take care of yourself. Don't worry about coming to the meeting. I'll never forget what that elderly gentleman said to me. He laid there in that hospital bed and he pointed his finger at me and he looked at me and he said, Brother Leonard, he said, if I'm not in the hospital and I'm not physically unable, he said, as a member of Dyson Grove Baptist Church, it's my duty to be there when the doors are open. I said, sign me up for about 150 more members like that right there, praise God. Amen. Most of them stay at the house when they get a hangnail. Hallelujah. They're like that song, Excuses. They've got to stay home and blow the kids' nose for it. Amen? I'm talking about we're living in a day. There's no commitment, but thank God. Yeah, but let me tell you something. Now, you didn't have to worry about it. Brother Melvin had the bubbles. Remember that Sunday after he got out of the hospital? They had a heart monitor on him. They had them wires, and it was hanging down. They were monitoring his rhythm. They was going to go check it the next week. And, man, we got there at the church that day, and the choir got to sing. And next thing I knew, people got to getting happy. I mean, the altars are filling up, and the choir, they're shouting in the choir, people shouting in the pews. I looked back there on the back row, and here come Brother Melvin out, and they walked with a cane, all stooped over. But I saw him come out in the aisle, and when I did, he had that cane up in the air, and he was on one foot. And he was in the glory, and that heart monitor was swinging back and forth, swinging. I'm talking about he didn't even know where he was at. I got so tickled thinking about that. I said, next week when they read that thing, I'd like to be there at the doctor's office. Everything's looking good. Everything's looking good. And then all of a sudden, what in the world happened to this man at about 15 to 12 on Sunday? I'll tell you what happened. The bubbles of joy started bubbling over in his soul. Hallelujah. He couldn't contain it. Hallelujah to his name. I was preaching this message in Demorest, Georgia. It ain't too far from here, but it'll take you about 4 hours to get there because all this traffic. Y'all need to do something about that down here now. Us mountain folks ain't used to it, praise the Lord. I was preaching up there, and I preached this message. There was an elderly gentleman sat on the front pew. I tell you, he was a godly man. That night, we left the meeting and come back the next night, and I saw that gentleman over there, and he was talking to his pastor. I could tell he was a little bit animated about something. I didn't know what was going on. Preacher come over to me, and Brother Keith Allison's who it was. Brother Allison said, Preacher, said, Brother so-and-so, he called his name, said, he's got something he'd like to give you. He said, he don't want to offend you, though. I thought, what is it, a book on how to preach better? I don't know. I probably need it. And he said, no, he said, I said, it won't offend me, nothing won't offend me. I said, what's he got? And the elderly gentleman brought me this. He said, Preacher, I used to run a country store. He said, it's been closed probably 45 years or longer. He said, but I collect a lot of that old Coke stuff. And he said, I had something I wanted to give you. And he brought it to me, and I'm going to show it to you tonight. He brought that to me, and he said, Preacher, that's over 50 years old. It's over 50 years old. And I got to looking at that bottle, and I held up this newer one beside it. Now, if you go to the store and get these newer ones now, they've got an expiration date on them. This one's got the bubbles. You can see it, can't you, brother? It's easy to have the bubbles when you're new. But brother, can you see that one right there? It's got bubbles 50 years later. If you get a hold of that, praise God, don't look at me so dignified, praise God. Hallelujah! I'm glad it's good when you first get saved, but I'm glad you don't have to lose the joy. I'm glad you don't have to lose the fear. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad, praise God, that it's real? Hallelujah! I looked at that little bottle, this one. It's got a lot of scars on it. Scuff mark. It's been down the road, but it's still got the fizz. Hallelujah. He's looking for a vessel that's solid, steadfast, pure and clean, magnifies Him, worth something to His community and family. He's looking for a vessel that's not lost the first love. Last of all, He's looking for a vessel that's unique in the world. I can't, if I went to a foreign country tonight and I picked up one of these that had foreign language on it, I couldn't read that wording maybe that's on it. I wouldn't be 100% sure that I had a Coke. But if I was in a foreign country tonight and I picked one of these up, it wouldn't matter what the writing said on it, that distinctive shape is easily recognized all around the world. In other words, you'd know you had the real thing by the way it looked. Do you realize you can recognize a real Christian? Don't matter. I've run into them, brother, where they barely could speak my language. But the Holy Ghost witness of God would bear witness, and the next thing you know, you run into somebody at the grocery store, you've never laid eyes on them. Next thing you know, the subject comes to Jesus, and you're about having a camp meeting there. You know why? Because you can recognize that all around the world. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, this world needs to see the real thing. This world needs to see some real saints of God in this day we live in. I got to thinking about this, and I brought some more vessels tonight. I like to think about this one as a Baptist. This is a Baptist right here. But I brought some other denominations with me. Some of y'all go back. Some of y'all go tell that Snyder Turner's having an ecumenical meeting over here. Amen. I brought a Presbyterian with me tonight. Dr. Pepper. I brought a Methodist with me tonight. A Methodist. Mellow Yellow. And I brought a Pentecostal. Mountain Dew. It'll tickle your innards, preacher. You got to really know, we were sitting up there before church. Wasn't even talking about my message. And somehow or another, soft drinks came up, and Brother T.D. said, do you remember that slogan they used to use for Mountain Dew? It'll tickle your innards. I just about wanted to jump up at the table and say, yeah, preacher, it's one of my points in the message. I felt the Holy Ghost when you said that. It's a Pentecostal. When I look at these, they're all a little different. Some of them different color, slightly different flavoring, even different packaging. But if you turn them around and read what they're made of out on the back of it, most of them are pretty much made out of the same stuff. I wish I could say that us Baptist folks have kind of got one up on the other denominations, but most of the time our folks ain't living no better than the Methodist folks or Presbyterian folks. There ain't no difference. But you see, what the world needs to see is not another Baptist. And I am a Baptist by conviction, by the way. But the world don't need to see another Baptist or another Presbyterian or another Methodist or another Pentecostal or whatever you want to choose. But I'll tell you what this world needs to see. It needs to see the real thing. I'm talking about old-fashioned. I'm talking about saint of God. That's the real deal. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, he said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor unto God, sanctified meat for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I don't know about you, but I want to be the real thing tonight. Let's pray. We're going to give an invitation. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Let him do as he pleases tonight. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us in this meeting. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the illustration tonight. And Lord, I pray that you've spoken to somebody's heart here in this meeting. Lord, I pray you've challenged somebody tonight, Lord, to be the real thing. Lord, I pray would you speak to every heart, speak to every life. God, you're the one that controls it all. Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to desire to be the real thing, a vessel of honor unto God. And Father, we're going to give you praise for all you do. Pastor, you come tonight. You take charge as you see fit tonight.
Let's all stand together, if you would, please, for just a moment. I want to sing just a verse of a song. Our prayer is that we want to be the real thing. We want to be the real thing. Amen. If God spoke to your heart, would you just respond? Will you just listen while we're singing and let God touch your heart? You know, we've been challenged, and He says some good things that have caused us to really think about things. The picture that He painted with these drinks. It's been amazing to me in that it's so real the way we see things. Just obey God, will you, while we sing.
Just as I am.
Come on, who else will come?
Without one plea, but as Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee. God.